G8 and His Battle Aces, Squadron of Corpses, by Robert Hogan, Chapter 16. Crowley. With all the power at G8's command, he brought the butt of the Luger down on von Uhlmann's skull. There was a dull thud. Von Uhlmann never answered LLL's question. He slumped instantly toward the ground. G8 caught him before he went down completely. Instantly LLL had hold of von Uhlmann's legs while G8 had him under the arms. They carried him noiselessly away from that spot. Far away in the opposite direction from the drive and the chateau. Then, when they were well screened by a hedge, they laid him down. Swiftly, with the help of LLL, G8 began stripping off his own clothing and exchanging it for that of Captain von Uhlmann. He was working like lightning. There was no time to lose. The car was waiting for von Uhlmann. G8 would have to take his place. The name of that general was written indelibly on G8's memory, the general that von Uhlmann mentioned as he came out of the chateau. G8 would have to take the captain's place, a special messenger from Herr Dr. Kruger to the general von Wagner, as soon as possible. He didn't know where von Wagner was. That would be the driver's job. There was a slight bulge in the inside pocket of von Uhlmann's uniform coat. G8 drew out a long, sealed envelope. He felt the papers inside and slipped it back into the pocket. The hedge, behind which they crouched, hid them completely from view of the chateau. While LLL held the flashlight, G8 worked with materials from the compact makeup case. His hands worked swiftly, as he made his face look exactly like Captain von Uhlmann's. Then he tried an imitation of von Uhlmann's voice. A harsh, rasping, guttural sound came from his lips. "Ach, Herr Kamerad," he said to LLL, "first das Nick Gut? You think I am ready, Nick War?" "Ja, ganz gut," came the answer softly from LLL. "I go now," G8 said in that same rasping, guttural, that would be his voice from now on. "Gute Nacht, mein Freund." There was a quick hand clasp. Then G8 stepped out into the gravel path that led on down to the roadway. He walked with a firm, quick step toward the waiting car in the darkness. The driver appeared, a dim saluting shadow, as G8 reached him. G8 answered the salute and spoke as he climbed into the car. "Ach, I am very late. We must hurry. Match schnell to the office of Herr General von Wagner." Bang! The door slammed and the driver leaped to his seat. "Joel, mein Captain." G8, sitting alone in the back seat, hung on nervously as the car swung out of the drive and struck the southbound road. Inky blackness was about them. There were no lights to show them the way. But the driver seemed to know by instinct where he was going. He swung now and then to miss holes in the road. G8 marveled at his skill. His hold grew tighter on the sides of the car. A wild ride that. Brakes squealed and the car slithered to a stop. The driver was out of his seat in a flash and opening the rear door. G8 stepped out quickly. A flashlight blazed in his face. Then the voice of a German guard. "Guten Abend, Captain Uhlmann," he said. "Kommen. I take you at once to His Excellency." The beam of the flashlight dropped to the ground the instant the guard had recognized him. He was following the guard, who presently stopped before a door and knocked. A booming "Kommen" sounded from within. The guard opened the door and stood aside for G8 to pass. The room was lighted with only a desk lamp. In its illumination he could see the face of von Wagner, a hard, square-jawed face, with a blonde mustache curled to imitate that of the Kaiser. The general was staring at him. "I come," G8 said, "with a special message from Herr Dr. Kruger. He sends you this, Your Excellency, with his compliments." He took the long, sealed envelope from the pocket of von Uhlmann's uniform. The general snatched it, tore it open swiftly. He glanced down at the first page, the second and the third. As he read he mumbled the meaning of the message to himself. "Yeah, yeah, the plane dropped more poison. Yeah, attention our agent, Captain Tilford at our intelligence headquarters at Jackor. Yeah, yeah, got. And have him instruct men on kitchen police at the Americaner airdromes that tomorrow 10 Americaner pilots must die of the poison." "Yeah, yeah. Gans gut." And as he read on his eyes widened. "Och. Dies Crowley. He is wunderbar." He finished reading and folded the sheets. He looked up and smiled a hard, grim smile at G8. "Och, do you know the importance of this message, Herr Captain?" G8 shook his head. He was growing more tense. His ears burned from straining to catch every word uttered by the German general. "Nein. I am afraid I do not know much about it. Herr Dr. Kruger was busy with other matters tonight. It was not until late that he gave me his message to bring to you." "Och, it is wunderbar," the general repeated. "Tomorrow, an hour past dawn, our great drive begins north of Solens. We cannot fail. At dawn our planes will drop many messages over the front of the Allies. These messages will tell them that 10 more dead German aces have been brought back to life. and that 10 American air fighting pilots are dying. He broke off in a harsh laugh, supposedly by the black magic spell which Crowley has worked during the night. We will demand their instant surrender on the threat that Crowley and his white magic will raise all the German dead from their graves to fight. And, by his black magic, will put the curse of death on every enemy soldier. G8 forced a desperate smile to carry out his part. General von Wagner had risen behind his desk, was leaning excitedly on his fists. And you know what that means, Herr Kapitän? It means the end of the war. Nick War? When our men go over in the beginning of their drive, they'll find no one but nervous wrecks to stop them. Yeah, Joel, nodded G8, with that tense grin frozen on his face. But this poison, that this message speaks of, I don't quite understand it. Och, me? Said the general. You mean Herr Dr. Kruger has not explained it to you? It too is wunderbar. Crowley, the master voodoo doctor from Haiti, brings it with him from his island. It is extracted from the deadly little coral snake there. When injected directly into the bloodstream, it causes instant nerve paralysis. But when added to a cup of coffee, it is much slower and much more mysterious. With the right quantity, there is no possible cure after the whole cup has been drunk. Verse them, see? G8 gave a short nod of his head. Joel, Excellency, he said. Versti, he never uttered a truer word in his life. Then he added, is there anything else, Herr General? Nein, said the general. Das ist alles. Return to the great Herr Dr. Kruger with my compliments. There was an exchange of salutes and then G8 was gone. He noted the time as he left the office of von Wagner. A little past midnight. That would mean he still had a good 6 hours before that drive north of Solins started. And as he rode back toward the chateau, he was trying desperately to form a plan. Nearly everything was clear to him now, except the raising of the dead Germans. The explanation of the dying Yank aces was simple, once he knew the cause. There must be a German agent acting as kitchen police in every officer's mess, on every Yank field. He must get this information back to Allied headquarters. He didn't know just how yet, but beyond doubt there was a wireless station in the chateau near Kruger. First, though, he must learn more about this weird ceremony of Crowley's. He wanted to be able to send a complete message, a full description and explanation of everything that had caused this ghastly horror. The tires of the car crunched on the gravel drive, then the car stopped and the door opened. Good work, G8 commanded the driver. Denk. He hurried up the path toward the chateau. As he passed a clump of bushes, he heard faintly the question, okay, okay, he hissed back. That would be LLL making a check on his safety. He mounted the long steps up the terrace and reached the entrance to the chateau. His step was firm. Guards presented arms after a flashlight had shown them his face. He stepped inside. An orderly saluted. Herr Dr. Kruger wishes to see you at once, Herr Kapitän. Very good, G8 nodded. He tensed for a split second. Just where would Herr Dr. Kruger be in this great, old stone structure? Show me to him at once, he ordered. The orderly whirled about with a tick of his heels and strode down the corridor. G8 breathed easier as he followed. He wondered what the little fiend wanted of him. Clever, this little doctor, he might see through G8's disguise. The orderly opened a door and stepped aside. Herr Kapitän von Uhlmann, Herr Doctor, a high-pitched voice spoke in answer. Good. Show him in. G8 surveyed the quarters of the devil doctor. It was a veritable laboratory with levers and push buttons here and there. And in the center, sitting in a wheelchair, was Herr Dr. Kruger, himself. Instantly, G8 saw that he was better than when he had seen him last. He could move his head on his shoulders very easily. Both his right and left arms were back to normal. He saw his right leg move a little. The paralysis that had placed him in that wheelchair was leaving him slowly but surely. Kruger's beady little eyes stared through the thick lens glasses at the master spy, whom he took for von Uhlmann. You delivered my message to General von Wagner? He cracked in his high-pitched voice. Joel, Excellency, he sends me back with his compliments to tell you that everything you wish will be done. Gut, nodded Kruger. Gut. G8's nerves tightened a little as he waited. Was this all that Kruger had called him in for? Or was there something else? Something that might turn out to be a trap? Then Kruger spoke again. You have done good work, Kapitän, he nodded. I believe you will be interested in what I am about to say. You have never seen the great Crowley in action? G8's nerves tingled to his very fingertips with anticipation, but was this the right answer? It must be, Nein, Herr Doctor. Then you shall see him tonight in the greatest demonstration he has yet put on. The little doctor showed his long, tusk-like teeth as he grinned delightedly. You will go to the wine vaults at once. You will see many officers there. An officer from every brigade along the front. They will return before the drive to tell their men that they need not have fear of death. That Crowley can bring them back to life. His voice trailed off in a weird, cackling laugh. Och, das ist gut. Ha ha ha. But wait. He grew serious once more. His little eyes narrowed. After you have seen them work, tell me, if you can, how the great voodoo doctor accomplishes his trick. Now go to the wine vaults. G8 left the laboratory of the fiend. He heard the clank of boots on the hard stone corridor floor, boots of Officeren who were marching toward a wide, stone stairs. The stairs led down into the wine vaults that Kruger had mentioned. And, at the end, were the great, underground caves, empty now of giant casks. The chamber was rapidly filling with line after line of German Officeren. G8 had joined the last of them. They were all in now. The huge vaulted hall was lighted only by several candles that burnt in the far end. As G8 looked, a horrible spectacle of a man appeared before them, coming swiftly through heavy curtains at the back. Robes of torn, frayed material hung about him. His face was jet black. His thick lips and nostrils were bright red. His eyes seemed to blaze with a supernatural power. His head was crowned with a wide-brimmed, felt hat, not unlike those worn by gamblers of the Old West. That was Krolloy. To be continued.